You're listening to Sound Opinions, and later in the show, we're going to share our favorite songs about helping our neighbors in times of need. But first, Jim and I are going to play Rock Doctors to try and help a listener.
So our latest Rock Doctors patient is Hannah. We've got her on the phone now. Hello, Hannah. Welcome to Sound Opinions.
Hi, thank you.
All right, tell us your story. It's a really moving one.
Okay, so I'm a grad student at the University of Florida. And so up until March 2020, I was living in Gainesville, Florida, which is a pretty long drive from my hometown in Northwest Ohio. But when some of the COVID stuff started coming out, I got a call from home that my grandpa was in the hospital and was expected to be in the hospital for a couple days. And this is pretty problematic for my family because he was serving as the full-time caregiver for my grandma, who has Alzheimer's disease.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason for that is because our professional caregivers were asked to, you know, start social distancing after the pandemic broke out. We were trying to take it on as our family, but my parents both still worked full-time, and it just wasn't going to work. So the next day, I drove home, and I was still pretty new to the pandemic, so I was pretty scared of everything and only stopped twice on the 14-hour drive to get gas and try not to touch anything. But
yeah,
I got home around 2 a.m., and my mom had been awake for like 36 hours with my grandma, who was just really agitated, and she would go to sleep for a few minutes, then get up and ask, "Where's my husband?" And we have to explain to her that he wasn't coming back that night, and she was just, you know, just over and over again, not really knowing what was happening. And so, yeah, that was the beginning of my time as a caregiver. And I spent about 3 months living with my grandparents and doing full-time caregiving.
Wow. You know, the ramifications of this disease, Hannah, go on and on and on. There are many countless families, in this sort of a situation. And then on top of that, the heartbreak of this awful disease of Alzheimer's. Greg and I have both been touched by it in our families.
Yes, we have.
Yeah, and so I think you guys probably know, like, the effects that music can have on somebody with Alzheimer's. And that was my inspiration for writing in to the Rock Doctors, is because music is really the only thing that we've found that can consistently calm my grandma down when she's feeling anxious and confused.
It's amazing. I saw that with my stepdad, who I always called my dad. He really raised me. He used to play acoustic guitar in church when we were growing up, and he was a high school teacher. He'd play it in class. And music, even as he faded further and further from the present and nothing seemed to touch him, music still did. The power of this art form, right, Craig?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. My mom had dementia, and, music would have the same impact on her. She sang. She had a beautiful voice, so she was a singer in a choir when she was younger, and she went right back to that spot whenever you'd play some music, and that was very comforting for her. So it sounds like you've got a similar kind of situation. What are you looking for musically, Hannah?
Preferably just not the same Judy Collins CD that I've literally been listening to for 3 months.
That's what's been working. Okay.
It works like a charm. It's the album Wildflowers from 1967.
I've looked at clouds from both sides now, from up and down, and still somehow it's clouds' illusions I recall. I really don't know clouds.
I mean, it makes her laugh, it makes her cry, and it gives me a chance to do my homework. but yeah, it would be awesome to have something that could kind of blend some of the interests that I have, like some of the alternative rock, top 40 country kind of sounds that I've been getting into with some of the older music from the 60s that my grandma loves to listen to. Both of us are really struck by lyrics. I think any time that she hears something simple that she finds profound, she'll say the lyric again and repeat it over and over again. And it brings her a lot of joy, I think. And it's always surprising what she can pull out of songs that I wouldn't have even noticed.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Well, our nurse, in this case, Andrew Gill, one of our producers, sketched out your situation. It's so much more powerful hearing you tell us, Hannah. And thank you for sharing that, because there are no doubt many other people in this situation. I've been thinking about it, Greg. I know you have, Dr. Cott.
Well, I have to say, after that description, your grandmother sounds like a very astute listener, and I'm a little intimidated. She could be a great critic. So we better come up with the goods here, or we're going to hear about it. When I, you know, hear you talking about this and sort of drawing together the past with the current in terms of ability to bridge eras and generations in the way that she listens to music, one of the first records I hit on was Forever Turned Around by this Chicago band, Whitney. We've had the band on the show, but I think they do an excellent job of creating melodic yet complex pop songs, memorable pop songs, in a 3 or 4 minute space and being really subtle about it, but at the same time with a really striking set of influences. There's a little bit of country soul in there, there's a little bit of pop, there's a little bit of soft rock, for lack of a better term. The singer has kind of a higher end voice, and you'd mentioned lyrics and choruses and refrains that sort of stick in your mind. They're really good at wordplay, talking about sort of a melancholy viewpoint of relationships that they've been in, and sort of pinpointing, you know, moments where relationships turn for the better or the worst.
Maybe life is the way it seems. I feel like I'm holding on to a place in your heart that's...
I feel like I'm holding on to a place in your heart that's long gone. You know, these kind of words that sort of stick with you and everybody can relate to, I think, from a standpoint of having been in a relationship where things aren't always going perfectly well, but the music is so beautiful, it makes the melancholy go down a lot easier. It's not a record that's going to be abrasive, it's not a record that's going to bowl you over, overwhelm you with volume or intensity, but it is incredibly beautiful, well-crafted, the songs are super memorable, and I thought, you know, it might work. So I'd love it if you could give them a shot.
Thank you. I will.
You know, Dr. Cott, I was really thrown because Hannah, like many Sound Opinions listeners, is a voracious music lover. You know, her favorites include everything from Maroon 5 and Train to Chance the Rapper and Frank Ocean. You know, so I'm like, where do I start here? I went, Hannah, to something that I think stands as the album that evokes this horrible disease where you are present but not present, better than any other piece of music. Now, it might be an obvious prescription in that you may have heard this record, you may have heard it so much you're sick of it, because it fell in that category, but in 1999, Moby broke through out of the electronic underground with a record that I think is truly unique to this day in the way that it is very much of the moment, but with these haunting echoes of the past. Play. Play came out, and Moby went from a little-known electronic cult hero to multi-platinum in 20 countries with millions of copies sold, 8 singles that were hits from this record, and every single song appeared in numerous commercial and movie and television soundtracks. What's fascinating about Play is that, like his earlier ambient records, he made it, you know, pretty much in his bedroom. But the samples he turned to all came from Alan Lomax's fabled so-called field recordings of blues musicians captured on their back porches and in juke joints. And those samples where Moby is singing and Moby is creating an electronic merge of blues and gospel and hip-hop and disco and, of course, techno. And then we have these voices from the past of Bessie Jones or Boy Blue, Vera Hall or the Lanfordaires, right?
Why does my heart?
And these conversations are going on. When I would visit my stepdad every week in the memory care facility, you know, sometimes I wasn't even there to him. He was having a conversation with a student he'd had 30 years ago in the 7th or 8th grade. You know, we're both there, but not really there. And these conversations are happening across decades. And I just thought, play. Moby, you know, so Moby, you know, Moby Play got overplayed. Moby, like Chicago and Kanye West, has a tendency sometimes to say stupid things or do even things that are offensive. But I think the art is the art. And whatever you think of Moby, I don't know. Have you ever heard Play? It's a superstar hit.
No. I think I'm a little too young for it, to be honest.
This, yeah, 1999. You were nowhere near college. You're
yeah,
in college
like
now. All right, so my recommendation is Moby's Play. Greg is going with the Chicago band Whitney. We're going to give you and your grandma a chance to live with these for a bit and come back and check in and see how they worked.
Thank you both so much. I'm very excited to try them.
Excellent. Don't nobody know my trouble begun.
We'll hear how our prescriptions worked later in the show, but now it's time to share our favorite songs about helping.
You know, Greg, these are tough times, every way you cut it. I always think, it's a cliche, and we've heard it a million times in the media, I always think of Mr. Rogers. I was a devoted Mr. Rogers fan when I was a kid. You know, he always advised parents when disturbing things are in the news to look for the helpers. You know, and as someone who grew up in New Jersey and in New York, to see what the East Coast went through in the first really awful wave of COVID-19 deaths, applauding every night the essential workers and the healthcare professionals. And then now we are still in this and we're seeing it in the South and in the West. I think these people are heroic who are helping, risking their own health and safety to help other people. So we wanted to play some songs for them. Now, I got to say, you know, I don't think there's anybody in the history of popular music that had more songs about help than the Beatles, right? Mm-hmm. You got Help. You got If I Needed Someone. You got Any Time at All. A Little Help from My Friends, right? I didn't want to go to the Beatles. There are also songs whose message about help is great, but the songs themselves really suck. I'm thinking of I Can Help by Billy Swan or The Hollies.
Heavy. Come on. I like that Billy Swan song.
You like
that's great. Oh, man, that's just soulful. I love that song.
It's such an earworm. I can help. I don't know. All right. But I went to, for my first pick, a perhaps obvious choice, but an absolute timeless classic, the Jackson 5, I'll Be There. It's the first single from third album by the Jackson 5. It's written by some of those classic Motown hands, Berry Gordy, right? First and foremost on the list of credits. What is extraordinary about this song is not only its success, sold 4.5 million copies in the U.S., you know, 6.5 million worldwide, replaced Marvin Gaye's I Heard It Through the Grapevine as Motown's biggest single at that point. It is the empathy that 12-year-old, barely 12-year-old Michael Jackson manages to project, the wisdom and the empathy at this young, young age. You know, it has become so popular that we hear it, you know, all the time. But do we really think about it? You know, you and I must make a pact. We must bring salvation back. Where there is love, I'll be there. I'll have faith in all you do. Just call my name and I'll be there. You know, I mean, Michael looks at that point as if he would need help tying his shoes still. And yet this young voice, so wise and deep beyond his age, is offering the kind of help that it takes a lifetime to learn to provide to others. Jackson 5, I'll Be There on Sound Opinions. You and I must make
together. That is the Jackson 5 with I'll Be There, a classic Motown song about helping your neighbors. And this one's also in that same vein. Motown, a few years prior to the Jackson 5 hit the Four Tops with Reach Out, I'll Be There from 1966, to be distinguished from the Jackson 5's I'll Be There. So this one's perhaps better known as Reach Out with the I'll Be There in parentheses. It's been done both ways. The point being, it's a classic song about helping from the Four Tops. I think, you know, the word empathy is going to come up a lot today. Jim, you've already used it in regards to the Jackson 5 song. I think Levi Stubbs, to me, was the king of empathy of the Motown singers. On this song, it sounds like he's throwing this lifeline to a friend dying of neglect. I mean, the person he's singing to, the lyrics are hinting that a suicide is imminent. All of your hope is gone. You know, Levi is singing to this person. The songwriters, by the way, Holland Dozier Holland, the great Motown songwriting team, they wrote a number of classic songs for the Four Tops and other Motown groups. But Stubbs' performance really pushes it to a new level. The orchestration is fantastic in the typical Motown way, that dramatic ebb and flow. The hook in this song, there's a point where everything drops out and all you hear is James Jamerson's driving bass line against that tambourine. You know, that's just, you keep waiting for that moment in the song every time. And the way Stubbs lands on those lines, you know, the world has grown cold, drifting out on your own, and you need a hand to hold. You know, I mean, this man is like... Yeah. There's a desperation there that's coming through. And the three remaining tops pushing him higher and higher with reach out throughout the song. He's extending a hand. He's extending this lifeline to somebody in deep trouble. And then finally, just before they hit the final refrain, Stubbs sings, "Just look over your shoulder. I'll be there." You know, it's like the last, "I'm never leaving you" in this moment of dire need. It's the Four Tops with Reach Out, I'll Be There on Sound Opinions.
An undeniable classic by Greg Kot, a helping song, Four Tops, Reach Out, I'll Be There. Do you have a favorite song about helping? Tell us about it. Call 888-859-1800 and leave a message with your pick and why. We'll be back with more helping songs in a minute on Sound Opinions from WBEZ Chicago and distributed nationally by PRX. Anytime at all.
Welcome back to Sound Opinions. I'm Greg Kot with Jim DeRogatis, and today we're sharing some of our favorite songs about helping. Jim, you're next.
Greg, I'm going to go to one of my favorite artists, Peter Gabriel. And, you know, I've talked about him a lot on Sound Opinions, but those first four albums are amazing. Immortal, one of my all-time favorite artists. I'm going actually to the fifth solo studio album by Peter Gabriel, So, in 1986, which I don't think is one of his greatest. However, this song certainly is. It is a duet, Don't Give Up, with his friend and frequent collaborator, Kate Bush. Now, as much as I know about Gabriel, I did not know these two facts, which I have to share with you. The song apparently was inspired by Gabriel looking through a beautiful photo book of the work of that Depression-era photographer Dorothea Lange. You know those pictures of the poverty-stricken Americans in the Dust Bowl looking hopeless and helpless, definitely in need of a hand. And Gabriel was struck by those faces, that sadness, that desperation being echoed in England under Margaret Thatcher when things were very much becoming haves and have-nots, and we're not going to worry about the have-nots. Now, I don't know if this is true. It may just be apocryphal, but I found reference on several places on the net that Gabriel originally wanted to sing the song with a different partner. And he was thinking about Dorothea Lange. He was thinking about the Dust Bowl. And he originally approached Dolly Parton. How amazing would this song have been? Now, this might have been made up and just got repeated 10 times on the net. I've interviewed Gabriel. I never asked him that. Next time I would. Either way, Kate Bush is the perfect voice. This is a dialogue in the verses. Gabriel talking about desperation and being at the end of your rope. No fight left. Or so it seems. I'm a man whose dreams have all deserted. And Bush, an angelic presence, always is the voice of hope. Don't give up. Don't give up. You have friends. You're not beaten yet. I know you can make it good. Don't give up. So this is Peter Gabriel and Kate Bush. Don't give up.
In this proud land, we grew up strong. We were wanted all along. I was taught to fight, taught to win. I never thought I could fail. No fight left, or so it seems. I am a man whose dreams have all deserted. I've changed my face, I've changed my name. But no one wants you when you
Peter Gabriel and Kate Bush, Don't Give Up. Greg, another helping song.
I love that song, especially when Kate's voice comes in there. Talk about a voice that is offering hope to the lost, you know?
Oh, my God.
She's got the great voice for that. This song has always deeply moved me. Bob Marley's No Woman, No Cry. Particularly the version on his live album, Live! Exclamation point, from 1975. It was originally recorded on the 1974 Natty Dread studio album in a more up-tempo version, but Marley and the Wailers sort of pull it back on the live version, and the audience is responding to it, and it's just a beautiful, simmering anthem to hopefulness in a time of dire need. Some people have misinterpreted what the song title means, No Woman, No Cry. But the key is in the Jamaican patois, in which Marley sings the word no. He's saying no. No woman, no cry. And what he's saying there is don't cry. He's urging this woman, we're going to get through this. And the person he seems to be speaking to is his future wife. He's talking about them growing up together in Trenchtown, which is basically a Jamaican public housing project. And he's saying, even though we're going through a tough time right now in our life, we had it even tougher when we were kids growing up, and we got through that, and we can get through this together. So he's referring to Aretha Anderson and saying, you know, we're going to get through this. He's directly messaging his future wife in this song. This song of reassurance too from is very much a part of his tradition as an artist who addressed the downtrodden and the people who were not looked upon as the top of the elite of the Jamaican society. He was speaking about, you know, this is in tradition of Marley's greatest music, speaking to the downtrodden and lifting them up. And this song does that extremely well. It's Bob Marley and the Wailers with No Woman, No Cry on Sound Opinions.
No woman, no cry. No woman, no cry. No woman, no cry. No woman, no cry. Say,
No Woman, No Cry from Bob Marley and the Wailers, the iconic version from the 1975 Live! Exclamation Point album. I highly recommend that whole album as an introductory point to Marley.
For sure. You know, if all you've ever heard is Marley piped in at bad bars that are serving tiki cocktails, listen to that album. You know, Greg, speaking of genres that sometimes get a bum rap, I just played an example of screamo or post-punk or melodic hardcore a couple of weeks ago talking about the band Thursday. I'm going to go to a helping song from a Chicago group called Rise Against. You know, I think the lead vocalist writes much of the lyrics. Tim McElrath is a really astute observer of detail, novelistic at times, and certainly this song, despite the kind of anthemic propulsive power, is one that shows great empathy. He was apparently inspired by the devastation of one of America's great cities, New Orleans, by Hurricane Katrina. And in some ways, when he's talking about what was left in the wake of that hurricane, the Crescent City sleeps, giants in the sky preparing to unleash a mighty cry. Okay, you could read the choruses of "Help is on the way." They said, help is on the way. They said, as sort of sarcastic. We didn't do much in those early days to help New Orleans. But, you know, I think now with the hindsight of history, and even in the period of time between when the storm hit and when McElrath and Rise Against were writing and then recording this song, people of New Orleans helped each other, and then other Americans helped them, and the heck with what the government did or didn't do, that city rebounded. It's had plenty of challenges since. We all have. But help was on the way, even at a time when it seemed as if it wouldn't arrive. I think it's a really great song. It's from the band's sixth studio album, Endgame. Help is on the way by Rise Against.
I have my mother's dreams. I have my father's eyes. You can't take that from me. Just go ahead and try. The Crescent City sleeps while giants in the sky preparing to unleash. Let loose a mighty cry. Can nobody save us? Will anyone try? The bayou is burning. The cypress is
Help is on the way, Rise Against. Greg, another helping song, please.
Yes, indeed. Sade, who is one of our favorite artists, certainly one of my favorite artists for decades. You know, the mystery, the the voice, everything about her sort of, it's a mystery. Let's face it. She's one of those artists, Nigerian-born singer, who does not avail herself to many interviews, is seemingly unknowable in many ways, except through her music, which is beautiful. And she makes her albums at her own pace. Nobody can rush a Sade album. The one that she put out in 2000, Lover's Rock, came out after an 8 years hiatus, and one of the singles from it was the song I Want to Play, By Your Side. And it's basically, I think, in many ways can be interpreted not only as a message to someone in great need, but a message to her fans, basically saying, I'm always here for you. I may be gone for a long time, but I'm still here. And I think it's emblematic of the comfort that her music has provided over the decades. You know, she's got this ability to be sultry yet intimate, and there's a cool about her, but she's also never remote. There's a sense that she is always close by because of that voice. It feels like it's whispering in your ear. You know, it's kind of a patient, consoling sound. And I think just the sound of her voice alone would qualify as a helping song, yeah, or a helping sound, you know? And when you pair it with the words on By Your Side, it really works beautifully well. I'm also thinking about the way her voice is shadowed by Stuart Matherman's guitar and Andrew Hale's keyboards. Those are her very close musical collaborators, and you can hear that collaboration here. So again, there's multiple meanings of By Your Side in the song, and not the least of which the musical collaboration between Sade and her musicians. It's Sade, By Your Side on Sound Opinions. I think I'd leave your side, baby. That is By Your Side from Sade, one of my favorite helping songs of all time. Jim, what have you got next for us?
Greg, I'm going to wrap up with a pick that's pretty absurd, okay? But as you said, when you were talking about Sade, sometimes the sound, above and beyond what the lyrics are saying, can just be a source of comfort, a source of solace. And this is a, I'm not apologizing, this is a silly, silly song. Help, I'm a Rock by the West Coast Pop Art Experimental Band. They did not write this song. This song originally appeared as part of a labored three-song suite on the debut album by Frank Zappa's Mothers of Invention, Freak Out. Zappa said it was came together spontaneously in the studio. He sarcastically dedicated it to Elvis Presley on the liner notes, right? It is just yelping, duck calls, screams, alien bleeps, and what people have said was orgasmic moaning. Okay. When West Coast Pop Art Experimental Band covered it, they made it a little more pop-oriented. Who was this band? I mean, as you know, as a student of psychedelic pop ephemera, I've long been fascinated by this group. Six albums, actually, in an amazingly short four-year span from 66 to 70. Then they broke up. Nobody knows anything really about them except Psychedelic Heads, and except for this song, which was like a minor hit. So, you know, the idea is like, you've probably gotten so stoned that you have turned into a rock and you can't move. You know that feeling. I can't feel my head. I can't feel my lips, right? Help, I'm a rock. Help, 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 I'm a rock, right? And that's all the song is. I don't mean to cheapen the deep sentiments we've been talking about in these other songs, you know, but sometimes absurd laughter is exactly what you need when you need help. You know, and you just gotta laugh because you're tired of crying. I present this pick. I apologize to everybody for playing this, but it's something. Let me tell you, Help, I'm a Rock by the West Coast Pop Art Experimental Band.
Help, I'm a rock. Help, I'm a rock.
Help, I'm a rock. Help, I'm a rock. Help, I'm a rock. Help, I'm a rock.
What a drag it is, being a rock.
Help, I'm a rock.
I think I'm gonna be a cop and go up and get my driver's license and pick up some freaks in front of Pandora's box.
Help, I'm a rock.
Help, I'm a rock.
Help, I'm a rock. Somebody please. Please help me, help on the rock. Please, please, help on the rock.
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 I wonder if they're freaking out somewhere in Minnesota.
All right.
That was something. Did you know this song, Greg? West Coast Pop Art Experimental Band.
I'm not familiar with that particular song, but I am familiar with that group, and I know that it was something going to be something absurd. And you delivered, yes. Jim. Thank you very much.
I needed it. I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, you know, laughing is certainly an antidote at a time like this. I mean, it definitely works. I appreciate the sentiment there. I'm going to finish up my helping songs with a track from Alabama Shakes, a great group that we were able to showcase very early in their career on Sound Opinions, and the great Brittany Howard, the beginning of a career for one of the great voices in contemporary music, and showcased on this first track from their coming out album, so to speak, Hold On, from 2012. You know, it's right there in the first verse on the first song on this first album. Bless my heart, bless my soul, don't think I'd make it to 22 years old. There must be someone up above saying, come on, Brittany, you got to come on up. And I think she's saying throughout this song the struggles that she was going through as a young woman, as a leader of a rock band, as an African-American growing up in the South, in Alabama, the hardships that she went through and endured just to get to this place in her life and maybe get a shot at reaching a wider audience with her music, which she has indeed done, but it was still very much an open question when she recorded this song. And you can hear that yearning there. Sometimes, you know, we can reach out to a friend, but sometimes we can reach out to something in a more spiritual way. Sometimes a belief in a higher power is what can get some people through their daily life. And in this case, she's definitely reaching out for some sort of spiritual guidance to pull her through. How did I make it through this? It must have been some higher, elevated form of consciousness that elevated me to this next level. So Brittany Howard pouring her heart out, pouring her soul out in Hold On from Alabama Shakes on Sound Opinions.
Bless my Come on now.
Alabama Shakes, Hold On, a fantastic pick, Mr. Cott. You, at home, you can add your favorite song about helping to the list by calling 888-859-1800 or connect with us on the Facebook or Twitters. Coming up, we'll hear how our prescriptions worked out for our rock doctor's patient and her grandmother. That's in a minute on Sound Opinions from WBEZ Chicago and PRX. Welcome back to Sound Opinions. I'm Jim DeRogatis. I am with Dr. Cott, and it is time for us to check in on our rock doctor's patient from earlier in the show. We offered her our suggested prescriptions for music that she could enjoy and that her grandmother might enjoy as well. Grandma is living with Alzheimer's. I recommended Moby. Dr. Cott recommended Whitney, the Chicago band. Let's see how we fared.
Let's welcome back Hannah to the show. Hannah, welcome back to Sound Opinions.
Thank you. Good to be back.
Well, how did our prescriptions work for you? Don't keep us in suspense. I'm on pins and needles here wondering if the drugs worked, you know, the musical drugs anyway.
Yeah.
What'd you think?
So I just want to preface this by saying that my grandma is absolutely ruthless. And take no offense to the things she says.
Throwing grandma under the bus.
Yeah.
I like you two guys, but grandma doesn't.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I commend you guys for trying, but this grandma is hard to please, let me tell you.
Yeah.
She had some, definitely had some positive things to say and some positive dancing and motion that she took part in, but she also had some biting, scathing reviews that I would love to share with you.
I love it, Hannah.
Yeah. You know, on Sound Opinions, everyone's a critic. We worship that idealistic, egalitarian notion. So, I want to hear what you thought, and I want to hear what Grandma thought, and trust us, we can take it.
Okay.
I suggested Moby's 1999 album Play. You hadn't heard it, which made me happy, although it was ubiquitous if you were around at that time. It was new to you. Probably Grandma hadn't heard it either. Maybe she heard some of those original Alan Lomax recordings. I don't know. All right, so what did you think, and then what did Grandma think?
I thought it was really interesting, the Moby album, because each of the songs felt like they were really different stylistically. I enjoyed that variety. You know, Grandma had a lot to say, but her body language showed that she was at least enjoying it a little bit, because she was making little bum 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 noises and dancing with her fingers and looking cheery.
Okay.
But every time I asked her like what she thought of one of the songs, she would just make an absolutely crazy comment. I guess we could start with some of the ones that we both liked. There was a song called Southside. We both were like in agreement that this is a good song. But Grandma kept saying, what's he talking about? But, you know, enjoyed it. There was a song later on called Run On that caught both of our attention, for sure.
I've got the mighty, let me tell the news. My head got wet in midnight dew. Red God, I've been down on my bending knees, talking to a man from Galilee. My God spoke and he sounded so sweet. I thought I heard the shuffle of angels' feet. He put one hand upon my head. Red God, the mighty, let me tell you.
That being said, I'll share one of the comments that Grandma made about a song, Why Does My Heart Feel So Bad? Mm-hmm. Grandma candidly replied with, because your lyrics are horrible.
Oh, wow.
Which, ouch.
Why does my soul...
Ouch from Grandma, okay.
That, of course, is a sample from the Lomax collection of this great soul gospel singer that's like more than half a century old. You know, I mean, like, wow, Grandma, okay. But, you know,
yeah,
everybody's a critic.
There was a song called Natural Blues, and she had caught on to the lyrics. I think a pattern for her is that she can understand the lyrics. She can get more wrapped up in the song. And so she was really kind of vibing to this song. Like, she liked it until right at the end. She just offhand made the comment, it sounds like he has bubble gum in his mouth. And I was just like, hey, you've enjoyed this whole song up to this point.
Okay, all right.
Don't nobody know my trouble, God.
It was funny. So overall on this album, she did a lot of dancing along, a lot of mocking the sounds that were made, and a lot of snarky comments, but it kept us on our toes. So we at least had a good time listening to it.
Well, you know, this album made Moby a multi-millionaire. And he's occasionally done some despicable things. So I think Moby can bear and may even deserve the wrath of Grandma. And it's better than you're getting it, Hannah.
Yeah, he can take it.
He can take
definitely.
It. Big boy.
All right, I'm dreading now what I'm going to hear about Whitney's Forever Turned Around. So let me have it, Hannah.
I asked my grandma what her first impression of this album was. And she just said, confusion. And when I asked her to clarify a little bit, she said, I like the voice, but I don't understand the words. So very similar to the feedback from the last album. My first impression was just that it was pleasant. It was good to listen to. It made me feel relaxed. We both agreed that we really liked the title track, the Forever Turned Around.
Mm-hmm. Forever turned around.
Grandma said, very nice, listenable, but I couldn't tell you what it's about. So this is just a theme that we kept hearing.
I have to just say, your grandmother just sounds incredibly perceptive. I mean, she's just a really good listener. I mean, in some ways you wonder what's going through the mind of a person who's going through what your grandmother's going. I knew this from my own mother's experience. Mm-hmm. It's remarkable that she's so in tune with the music. She's really paying attention to this stuff. You weren't kidding when you said that she really, you know, listens to this music intently. So I'm really impressed with that.
I was thinking about that because perhaps it was a little bit of an artificial environment for me to be constantly reminding her to listen to the music with every song. I think what both of these albums might have accomplished better was to allow me to do my work, since she's not necessarily catching on to the lyrics to repeat them back and kind of tell them mm-hmm. to me over and over again. But that being said, it also doesn't have that instant mood-boosting effect that some of the music that she's known and loved since before Alzheimer's has on her.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that at this point in her life she's able to create new strong memories about new music, but she's certainly receptive to hearing it and living in the moment and experiencing it as it's coming. So it was a fun activity to go through this with her, for sure.
Do you think you'll ever play either one of those records again for her?
Yeah, I think the Whitney album especially, she seemed calm and relaxed during.
Turn around now and then you'll see that your world's gonna leave you behind.
I think that's something that would be really good background noise when she's already maybe working on a puzzle or mm-hmm. doing something, that she just needs something pleasant to bop along to in the background.
Well, cool. We have been talking to Hannah, the Rock Doctors have been anyway, and Hannah, thanks so much for talking with us about your grandmother's listening tastes.
Thanks for having me.
That wraps up this session of the Rock Doctors. Thank you, Hannah and Grandma. We both hope you find lots of music you love. If you're in need of help from the Rock Doctors, you can visit us at soundopinions.org. Dr. Cott, what do we have on the show next week?
Jim, we're going to take a long look at the deep and revered history of Chicago soul music.
Good stuff. For more Sound Opinions, listen to the podcast wherever you get such things. The show was produced by Brendan Banizak, Alex Claiborne, and Andrew Gill. On Sound Opinions, everyone's a critic. So now it's time to hear what you have to say.
You know I-
messages. Hey, this is Michael in Springfield, Oregon. So here's the thing. I don't have a lot of money. I love music. When I make a decision to buy an album, it's a big deal. And I get guidance from you guys, which I appreciate. Although I will say, sometimes you've steered me right and sometimes you've steered me wrong. There's things that you have praised that I have bought and loved, and some not so much. Anyhow, so I love Bill Withers, and your show has this thing on his live album. And right off, I'm thinking, I love Bill Withers, but I have a good collection of greatest hits, 2-CD thing. I'm not going to need to buy this live album. So I'm listening to this, and I'm, you know, track by track, I'm going, yeah, that's really nice. That's really good. But I don't think I'm going to buy this album. Until you got to, You're Still a Friend of Mine. And that one really touched me. I need that song. Thanks, guys.
I'm so thankful that you're my buddy. You're a friend of mine. Hey, now you're a friend of mine. You're a friend of mine. You're a friend of mine. Let me introduce you to some friends of mine.
Hey, Jim and Greg. This is Chad from Detroit, Michigan. I would like to tell you about a buried treasure. The band is called The Teeth, and the album is a compilation, and it's all of their records that they put out in the 2000s. They were a band from Philadelphia in the 2000s. They were homies with Dr. Dog, but this band is the greatest band that came out of the 2000s. All right, check it out. Enjoy.
To sleep again, you'll walk the streets and blur your sight, and then you'll see the yellow lights, the cars at night, the creeps and dogs and broken nights, the smiles and screams, remember things, the blows you have, and you are there, looking, looking, who are you fooling? Don't.
Hi, this is Stephen from Fredericksburg, Virginia. I have an additional buried treasure for you, a group I've really come to like, called The Spitfires from England. Their album, Life Worth Living, is very reminiscent of a group I loved back in the early 80s, late 70s, called The Jam. Hope you enjoy it. Love the show. Thanks.
Hello, Jim and Greg. This is Greg from Las Vegas, Chicago expat. Just got back from Death Valley, and it was about 120 as I was leaving. And I came home and ironically opened up a Goose Island IPA and listened to your Buried Treasure show, which was awesome. And just wanted to say, was a huge Naked Raygun fan a million years ago. Would see them every weekend when I lived in Chicago, and it's awesome that Jeff is still doing his music. Anyways, I love what you guys do. Keep it up, and my cat loves it too. Talk to you soon.
No more messages.
To give us your opinions on Sound Opinions, call our hotline, 888-859-1800. We'll be back next week with more Sound Opinions, produced by WBEZ Chicago and distributed by PRX.